So far we looked at Abel's example and how he, you know, by faith, his offering was acceptable. And again, by faith, Enoch, how Enoch pleased God, how we please God, by faith. You know, I was thinking about that song, you know, Carry Me Away. You know, you could see Enoch singing that. You know, he's walking along with the Lord. Carry me away, O Lord. And Noah, by faith, we looked at the example he set, how he moved with godly fear, how by faith we work. And then last week, starting with the section with Abraham, we've seen how by faith Abraham believed God, obeyed God by faith, sojourned by faith, and really settled in. And, you know, still in the same section, we look at Abraham's wife, Sarah, beginning at verse 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. And turn back to Genesis. We'll look at a little section, verse chapter 18. Look in verse 9. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Here in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I surely bear a child since I am old?' Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I'll return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied it, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. And he said, "No, but you did laugh." let's pray. Lord, we do look to you and seek your strengthening and your presence and your love and your plan. You stir up our faith, Lord, according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Interesting how Hebrews chapter 11, you know, records all these examples of men, some women, and their faith and the result of their faith. You know, the example of Abraham's faith bringing obedience. And now Sarah here, this example, her faith, she was strengthened in her body, you know, to bear a child. And how by faith she was strengthened. But, you know, when you look back at the account, you know, Sarah initially laughed. You know, she didn't really accept, you know, the prophecy, the promise, the word. But yet, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, you know, it's recorded in a positive light. And she, by her faith, received strength. And, you know, when you really look at all of Hebrews 11, it just records the positive. You know, in fairness, it doesn't record, you know, Sarah's plan, taking things in her own hands, having a son, you know, scheming for Abraham to have a son with Hagar and then Ishmael, the whole debacle, not recorded. Or Abraham's, you know, flaws. You know, how Abraham calling Sarah, you know, you can be my cousin. going to Egypt, not obeying God, partial obedience in some places, but only the positive is recorded. And, you know, it kind of gives a illustration. You know, the Bible says that he wipes away our sins. And here, when it comes down to it, only the positive is acknowledged and recorded. But Sarah was accredited for her faith. By her faith, or through faith, she was strengthened, the Bible says. What was physically impossible, she was past her age of childbearing, you know, what was totally impossible in her own strength, naturally, is what she really was. She laughed. She laughed at the idea of having a child when it was completely, physically impossible. And the Bible says the Lord told her, you know, is anything difficult? Is anything hard with the Lord? But by faith, she's accredited for gaining the strength in her body and conceiving a son, overcoming what's physically impossible. She believed. You know, what would be implied is she had a change of faith. She accepted the Lord's promise. Down the road, she absolutely did. She believed and was accredited through her faith. But notice her faith in his faithfulness, you know, not ours. You know, sometimes there's a lot of emphasis placed on faith, as if, you know, it's my faith that brings, the object of my faith is what brings the power, not the power of my faith. And she had faith, and through her faith was strengthened in her body, had a child, being physically impossible, but it was in his faithfulness. She believed his promise, the Bible tells us, verse 11, his word. Now, Abraham's a part of this example in verse 12. He's brought back into the story. And the Bible says, therefore, from one man, and to him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. You know, not just part of the example, but really the majority, or the biggest part of the example, as he expounds Sarah's faith, gaining strength to have a child. Something happened in her life that was physically impossible, because God brought it forth according to his word, by his spirit, and her strengthened in her body, experienced what was physically impossible. It's interesting, in the King James Version, in verse 12, the Bible says that, you know, Abraham, him good as dead, you know, sprang out of him, you know, not just what was born out of him, out of his seed, from his seed through Sarah, but what sprang out of. And really, the, you know, example given is, out of death came life, him. Therefore, man, him as good as dead, you know, came forth life out of death. Two examples of Abraham and Sarah in this, you know, portion, is she was strengthened, and from Abraham, you know, from death sprang out life, or life sprang out of death. And, you know, that's the biggest point in the example here, spiritual life coming through and out of Abraham by faith in the scripture, you know, expounded by Paul. But there's, you know, the illustration Jesus gives. And turn to John chapter 12. Remember him really speaking about the cross, but speaking about the death that comes out of life, or life that comes out of death. In John chapter 12, verse 23, you'll recall this illustration. Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it. He who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." How Jesus uses this same example, a life that comes out of death, speaking of the cross, first, you know that it's time for him to go to the cross. It's my time, Father, for your Son to be glorified, for you to be glorified. And how, you know, through Jesus' example, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But, oh, if I go to the cross, and if I, you know, die, and from my death will come forth much fruit, much grain. Then he tags along that example, from death comes life, or springs life out of death, with an example of who follows him. He's really saying, you know, about his disciples. You know how, unless you deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. Same example, same illustration, same spiritual reality and dynamic that takes place. Unless you lay down your life, you know, his life will spring out of our life when we lay it down. You know, something about faith. It's another, the nature of faith. The Bible says that faith, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the things not seen. The definition of faith. But the nature of faith, we're tapping into another dynamic. Just like prayer. Prayer takes the nature of a spirit. When we pray on Tuesday night, we pray, whenever we pray, we're right before him, we get in tune with him, we're praying, we're entering a spiritual realm in another dynamic. Transcending time and space, does prayer take on the nature of a spirit or a spiritual realm or dynamic? So does faith. We tap into faith. We tap into God's love by faith. It's his dynamic. It's his spirit that brings forth our life. If I believe in Jesus Christ, his life will manifest. How the example given of how Sarah, an impossibility for her to have a son born in her, and Abraham, good as dead, totally impossible, scientifically, naturally, physical impossibility, for you and I to become born again, impossible. The whole idea. But the realm and the dynamic is spiritual, can't be explained in the natural. And to bring it forth in my life and your life through faith, it's by death. First and foremost, our salvation comes from the cross. And then to experience much fruit, Jesus says, you know, it's got to die. I have to die. You have to die. Natural realm, to lay down our life before him, that he spring forth life from what's physically impossible. But an example of faith that lays hold of another dynamic, the reality of spiritual life, new life, life out of death, new nature, God's spirit. All we tap into and experience by faith. From death comes forth life. The example given, Sarah being strengthened in her body, and Abraham, life springing out of death. Example of what was impossible was made possible. Back in Genesis, the Lord says, is anything too hard for the Lord? I mean, is there anything too difficult for him? Another dynamic another power plane, spiritual plane operating that is beyond our senses. Faith, the example, the nature of faith given by Abraham, Sarah, and then in verse, at the end of verse 12, it's not just, you know, his son, Isaac, that was, you know, the miracle, but beyond that, explain, we're born as many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. How a nation sprung out of this miracle. A nation, we know now, when Paul breaks it down for us, you know, not only that Abraham was accounted righteous by faith, but so are they that have faith are justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And we, by faith, are the sons of Abraham, the Bible says, by faith. And we are blessed with believing Abraham, the Bible says. Partakers of the promise, the spiritual promise, this spiritual nation or multitude innumerable, spoken of. Yes, literally, the nation Israel, but spiritually, the church, those who have faith, those who are born again, those who are saved. What was impossible made possible. We are his sons by faith, spiritual life. Sarah strengthened, and Abraham enlifed the example. Look in verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Speaking of not the promise not materializing for Abraham, the land wasn't given to Abraham. Seeing the promises that God offers afar off, confess them, were assured of them, embrace them. The Bible says that they were assured, they embrace, and they confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, you can go back and look at, you know, each one of their confession. Look back in Genesis chapter 23. We'll look at a few. Chapter 23, look at verse 4. Abraham confessed, "I am a foreigner and a sojourner among you. Give me property for a burial place among you that I may bury my dead out of my sight." Sojourner, a foreigner. Look in all the way back in Genesis 47. Look at Jacob's confession. Look in 47 verse 9. "And Jacob said to Pharaoh, 'The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained to the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage.'" They confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers in this land. Look in Exodus, next book over to the right. Look in chapter 6. God affirms their state. Look in verse 4, chapter 6. "I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, in which they were strangers." They confessed. They were assured. They embraced. And they confessed the truth of their state, being pilgrims and strangers. Kind of like a, you know, Dave is asking about being baptized. He's never been baptized. And how, you know, it's a confession of our state, of our identity with Jesus Christ. Here they confessed their state, pilgrim sojourners, but based upon the assurance they had of God's word, they embraced the truth of God's word and brought forth a confession. They were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Look at verse 14, chapter 11. For those who say such things, make this confession, declare plainly that they seek a homeland. Those who make this confession are really making a declaration that they seek a homeland, another land, a place to belong to. They're not home yet. We're not home yet. And really, in context, it's what it's talking about. They sojourned, pilgrims, on their way home, to their real home. Look in verse 15. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. Interesting. You can always go back. The author of Hebrews says, they didn't have to continue to go forward. They were sojourning, pressing forward to this city. They seen afar off. They seen a glimpse of it. They sojourned. They could have maybe lived more comfortably. Turning back. Calling to mind. Sure, he had those traveling through the wilderness in mind. Oh, the leeks, the onions, the garlic of Egypt. Oh, the food was so good back then. The good old days. Oh, we should have never left Egypt. But it's weird how they don't mention the servitude, the bondage, the whip. It's interesting how they fail to forget the reality of the truth. They just look back and, they fantasize how good it was. Oh, the food was so good, and, here we are. And the truth of their state, slavery, they don't call to mind. Sin, the bondage. They, selective memory. But you can always go back. Call to mind. Entertain the good old days. I remember a few years back, and I was thinking about Joe Cocker. And how Joe Cocker, I grew up with Joe Cocker, and I used to really like his singing, and I used to idolize him when I was a teenager. I thought, man, and here I am. Got rid of all his albums, years ago. Then I got this, little queer little reminder, man, I should go get a Joe Cocker album, And I started listening to him. And it's like he was so empty. Just like last night I watched a movie with Charles Bronson. And I used to idolize Charles Bronson. And back in the 70s, man, he was the number one actor. Highest paid actor, $3 million a movie. And I'm looking at him through a different set of eyes. He can't act. He's a terrible actor. He waves his hands a little bit. He's got really broken English. He's a terrible actor. But the persona that he, gave, unemotional, masculinity, but how we can always go back, call to mind, the first fling, could always remarry. We can fantasize and call back and always turn back. We can always go back. And they, if they called to mind, they could always stop. The two and a half tribes of Israel camping on the wrong side of the Jordan. We can stop here, stop short. But the example, really, the idea is of the past, they can be alluring, and how we're not to entertain them. Don't even think about it, really. It's what to continue to go forward. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, how she turned back in her thoughts, in her heart, in her mind. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, And, you know, the truth of the war. You know, Paul says, as sojourners and pilgrims, Paul says that, you know, though we live in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Spiritual mindset. Continue to go forward. They could always go back. They called to mind the point, if they would have called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But they decided against it, to go forward. In verse 16, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. But now they desire a better country. A desire, a change occurred in them. They could have called, you know, when God called Abraham out of the Chaldees, he could always return and gone back to the old life, the old way. But now they desire, something happened, a change occurred in them. In sync with the forward progress, the city not made with hands, another homeland not yet materialized. Same with us. A change occurred in us. We got saved, and things changed in our desire. But now they desire. We were lost, and now he found us. Jesus said, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. A change took place. Disconnected from the world. Spiritually, something took place in us. A new spiritual nature. Different connection. Different dynamic. We will never be satisfied apart from him. That's the truth. Once he touched us and saved us and changed us, we'll never feel satisfied till we awaken his likeness, the Bible says, till we get home. But they seek, not only there was a desire, in verse 16, they seek a better, it's a better change that took place in them. A better, that is, a heavenly country. A change for the better. Heavenly country. You know, what makes heaven better? No more sickness. I'm on my second flu. Just getting on my second flu this winter. No more Michigan winters. No more pain, no more death, no more disease. You know, no more separation from him. Light, life. Love of Jesus Christ. He'll wipe away all our tears, the Bible says. Why is heavenly country better? The destination, much better, far better. The Bible says in verse 16, therefore, God is not ashamed. Therefore, you know, because they locked in their pursuit of this, you know, just going to the beat of their new nature, heart, forward progress. Therefore, by faith, the Bible says, because they continued and progressed, that God is not ashamed to be called their God. And the Bible refers to the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and God mentioning here, hey, I'm not ashamed to be identified with them, to be referred to as or called their God. Interesting, you know. It could be a hint that he could be ashamed of some that call him their God. Something to think about. Remember back in chapter 2? Look in chapter 2. Verse 11. Remember how Jesus, for both he who sanctifies Jesus and those who are being sanctified are all one. for which reason he's not ashamed to call them brothers or brethren. God's not ashamed, or Jesus isn't ashamed of calling those that are being sanctified his brothers. But some maybe hint towards could be ashamed. Those the way they live and call out and declare and profess and confess, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. How, I don't believe they were born again, the group he's talking about, but in the parable. But could be a hint, you know. The Bible says, I will be their God and they will be my people. And, you know, the Bible says in verse 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Mentioned in Revelation chapter 21, coming out of heaven, the New Jerusalem, shaped in the form of a cube, coming down to earth, the Bible tells us. The new city that God's made without hands, prepared for them that love him. And Jesus said the same thing. I go to prepare a place for you, a prepared place for his followers, for the believers, for those who are born again, his children. I like this one confession about being a stranger by David. Turn back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And then we finish. 1 Chronicles 29, look in verse 10. David's final prayer of thanksgiving. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you, and of your own. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all, as were our fathers. Our days on earth are a shadow and without hope. David, you know, looking ahead, recognizing his state, is this sojourner, a pilgrim, a stranger, an alien, a man without a homeland, a man looking forward to his true home, as the Bible talks about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God calling them strangers. And God prepared a place for them on purpose because of their faith, their pursuit, their heart's pursuit. And we see, you know, how Sarah was strengthened and new life given, you know, or Abraham's example, the new spiritual life that could, relate to us, another nature, another dynamic that we tap into by faith, and that we're not here permanently. We're just temporarily sojourning on our way home. Let's stand. Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word and this the nature of faith. How extensive, Lord, you've used men's lives to illustrate and to communicate what you're trying to say to us. Lord, we look to you. We ask that the truth of our faith would be stirred up. The new life that you give, what's impossible for us to see in our eyes or with our eyes, or to imagine in our thoughts is not even difficult for you. And Lord, to tap in to what you have for us, Lord, we look to you. We ask that you plant your word in our heart, that we would receive strength by faith, and be assured of your word, embracing your word, confessing who we are here, where we sojourn, passing through this life, this world, on our way to be with you. Lord, we look to you, that you would seal your word in our heart, that it would govern our thoughts, change us from the inside out. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.